What the Lord Jesus is doing in this little prayer that he taught the disciples of all ages is he's teaching us how to pray like a royal child. He's teaching us to pray as princes and princesses of the High King, the Father. And Jesus is leading us in that way. And so if we grow up into that royal mentality, and it's a biblical royal mentality, it's not one that looks down on other people, it's one that looks up to God, it's one that looks out into the world and all the peoples and longs to see them come into the kingdom of Christ. But part of growing up as a royal child is growing up to learn that there are things that are more important than yourself. And those things are that your Father, the High King, that his name may be hallowed, that everybody would give thanks to him, would rejoice in him, and would delight in his will, his ways, and his word. And it is the desire to see his kingdom, which he has bestowed on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come. That is, that it would fill the entire earth so that his will would be done on earth as perfectly and completely as it is in heaven. And so Jesus is putting these words in our mouths so that as we say them, we begin to transform and we begin to think like a royal child. We begin to become like Jesus himself. And one of the things that's integral to that is that God's will and our true interests are one. If something is not our Father's will, then it's not in our interest. And if something is in our Father's will, no matter how difficult it may be, it is in our interest. And we see how this works by looking at Jesus himself. Specifically, if we juxtapose the Lord's Prayer, which was Jesus' prayer, and the prayer that he offered up in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Lord's Prayer, we have Jesus teaching us pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Now, what we have to understand here is that what's happening in the Garden of Gethsemane is not what we normally think when we look of it at the surface. We think that Jesus, a person, an individual, could be any of us, is sacrificing their personal interest to the contrary interest of the Father. That is precisely not what is happening. What is happening in the Garden of Gethsemane is the submitting of the human perspective of personal interests to the Father's perfect knowledge of those personal interests through faith in the Father's promise that he has forever joined his personal interests to ours. And further, his promise that in orchestrating everything in every detail, he is going to work to the advancement of his interest and ours. Now, that's a lot of words, but I think you see what I'm saying. That's what's going on in the garden. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're told to look to Jesus, that he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He didn't need faith in a Savior like we do, because he didn't have any sin. But he needed faith in his Father, because he's working and walking according to his Father's promise. Then when he goes up on that cross and he enters that grave, he's going to come out another way that nobody's ever come out, into a new life that nobody has ever seen before. And so he is the example of our faith. And we're told that in Hebrews chapter 12, we're told that it was for the joy set before him that Jesus endured the cross. And now he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, the Father's will was Jesus' interest. It was not the Father's will to set aside the cross, because it was not the Father's will to set aside the joy on the other side of the cross. It was not the Father's will to set aside Jesus ascending into heaven and sitting down on the Father's throne and receiving all peoples and nations as his kingdom. Jesus believed that, and so he prayed, and so he acted, and thus he was exalted to the right hand of God. Now, if we are going to become mature royal children of God, we have to understand that we also have an ownership interest in the kingdom. Jesus said in Luke 22:29, I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. As Paul puts it in Romans, we are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ receives, everything that he inherits from the Father, which is what? Everything. We receive also, because we're in Christ. And so we're joint heirs with him. That's the way Jesus is teaching us to think in the Lord's Prayer. That's the way he's teaching us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And he wants to work a transformation in us so that we begin to act in this way. We begin to have this kind of a mentality like he did. And this is part of the ways that Jesus himself uses by the Holy Spirit to person by person begin to transform the entire world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.